When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to one of our Fight Game Media podcasts. If you enjoy this feed, you may also want to subscribe to the Fight Game Media YouTube channel. Most of the shows you enjoy listening to are also live streamed on YouTube, but there are two exclusive YouTube shows that aren't on this feed. It's G1 Season and our New Japan show, Speaking of Strong Style, hosted by Stephen Conway and Jeremy Finestone, goes live on Thursdays. And to kick off the week, Samantha Shipman and Mel Gray host The Power Bombshells every Sunday. Subscribe by going to youtube.com/@FightGameMedia, and you'll receive notifications when shows go live. You can also find all of our shows on FightGameMedia.com.
Hey, everybody, it's the Dynamite Show. Paul Fontaine, Jeff Hawkins. Better late than never. And this is completely my fault. For those of you listening on audio, you don't even know we're late. But for those on video, thank you for being patient. It was real life kicked in today, and we had a party. It was my oldest son and my youngest daughter's birthday both this week. So they decided to celebrate it today, when the one day a week when I actually have something to do at night. So,
all right, what did you do?
We ordered pizza, cake, you know, cool. just had the family over.
What are the cakes of choice for the
We have Black Forest and then like a Toblerone kind of.
Oh.
Yeah, like a little tiny, like a small one. I didn't actually have that one because I'm not a fan.
I'm a fan of the ice cream cake. I don't know why. I haven't had one in ages, but I've always liked those. I'm not a big birthday cake guy. I'll usually like get a slice of pie. I live alone. I don't need a cake, so I'll usually just get a slice of pie.
There was a time when I lived on cake and potato chips, but that time is long gone.
That's the Canadian diet from what
literally, like I go buy a bag of potato chips and a small slab of Black Forest.
I was never a cake guy.
Oh, I don't
you know,
like
the
trail cake.
I do like that. You know, there are certain cakes I will eat, but I've just never been. I prefer pie to cake.
Okay, I would probably agree. Like I'm not, I don't. There's certain birthday cakes I like, but most of them I don't. So it's very rare that I'll actually like a birthday cake. But there's
do you know what do you know what Carvel is? If I said that word, okay. So you don't know the magic of Fudgy the Whale or Cookie Puss.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No. No, but I do like a good pie, pumpkin pie, boontang pie. No.
I'm mostly a fruit pie guy. I do like the occasional key lime pie.
Okay.
Or the grasshopper pie. The grasshopper pie is pretty good too. That's an ice cream pie.
Miguel, dill pickle all the way.
Pudding.
No chips.
Oh no chips. Oh, yeah, you mean your chips potato chips?
Yeah, yeah. That was back in the day. Now,
son,
it's,
you are in Canada and you're not eating all dressed all the time.
No,
what is wrong with you?
We've been through this.
We have because I got Kevin Ely a box.
But my favorite is Parmesan garlic.
Parmesan garlic's tasty.
Those are great. The old Dutch, the kettle chips. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. So all this was. Way more exciting.
Cheddar
than
and sour
tonight.
Cheddar and sour cream is actually my
Ruffles
is my go-to for the most part.
Yeah, I like that. And actually we have a brand up here in Canada called Covered Bridge. And what I'll sometimes do is I'll order like 8 boxes of chips. Like I'm a store. And so they'll deliver 8 boxes of like 12 bags of chips, full size bags, and I throw them in the storage room, and that's my chips for a year.
Keebler.
I'll pull out one of these bags and I eat them for a week.
Yeah, Keebler used to have these chips, and you'll occasionally see them in the in some like faraway vending machine called Tater Skins or Tato Skins.
Oh yeah.
I loved those things.
The Idaho ones. Yeah, I've had those when I've come down states. Not a big sour cream and bacon guy, Jason.
Sour cream and bacon sounds tasty. I just don't think we have that here. That
I will have it.
Ketchup,
it's
I like the ketchup chips from Canada.
Yeah, Old Dutch. A bad ketchup chip is really bad. The Pringles ketchup are bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the Ruffles were always good to me.
Not bad. Not bad. Yeah, we're trying to avoid actually talking about this show.
And it's not because we didn't like it.
Absolutely not, Miguel. I can't stand jalapeno. But I know a lot of people do like them. Jalapeno kettle chips. Yeah. Just not a big spice guy.
So. I was. And now now I've aged. It's a little tougher on me.
My kids love these ones. They make the Old Dutch makes them and they're really good. Before we get into Dynamite, and now that we're done talking about chips, we gotta talk about Shane O'Mac. Here comes the money.
No, I was doing the theme from Chips. But go ahead.
Oh, okay. Here comes the money.
No.
earlier today, or it might have been last night. It was last night or earlier today. I guess SRS, your boy Sean Ross Sapp, and Wrestle Talk, which is John Alba's site. Am I correct?
I believe
so. Okay. They had an exclusive photo of Tony Khan meeting with one Shane McMahon. And I mean, a legit photo apparently happened very recently. The 29th, was it? Did they say?
I can't remember the date.
Okay. Immediately speculation that this photo was strategically leaked on a Wednesday to get people talking.
That'd be a smart thought. Continue. Yeah,
Sean insists that it was not a leak. And Brian Alford, Wrestling Observer Radio or Wrestling Observer Live went and said he believes it was a leak. I don't believe Brian was aware of what Sean had said. So it's not like he was deliberately contradicting Sean. This was his thoughts.
And what did Sean say?
Sean said that would be wrong. Now, I believe he's referring to the fact that it was a leak, but he was kind of vague in his response, so I'm not sure.
All right, get the information out of the way so we can talk about this. I'm trying to
find your tweet here. Okay, somebody posted this picture.
The one where I'm like just...
Yeah, retweet it. We're not allowed... I don't know. I'm going to repost this picture, but it's actually a clip from the Dynamite show, and
it is.
Your hand up and... Like
I have both hands up. The other one's on the other. Yeah, it's like, nope, not going to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, no mas. Yeah.
Okay, so let's recklessly speculate. That's something Sean took from me, reckless speculation.
Sure.
Number one, leak. Mm-hmm. You want to know why? Because they're looking directly at the camera. It's not like somebody either had the worst hidden camera in the world or they had their phone out and they were doing something.
Mercedes claimed that she leaked it.
Okay. Yeah, then she
I don't think she did. I think she was joking. But
I will put it to you this way. I don't see a lot of value in Shane McMahon. I think it could be just as little as maybe Shane is going to be part of whatever ceremony they're doing at All In if Danielson wins the title, since their careers have been intricately linked.
Yeah, they were co-GMs of SmackDown, weren't they?
Yes, I believe so. And then here's the other thing too. It could be something with marketing. It could be just one of other ventures kind of get there. I don't see Shane as a positive, either in front of the camera or behind the camera. I've talked to people who have been in the company with him. He has. Here's how it was kind of put to me. And I talked to a couple people about this because I was going through my messages back in the day when he was in the company. Shane McMahon's the kind of guy who has one really good idea, and then he thinks his other ideas are great too. And then he wants to do them all, and you just kind of have to, look, Shane, let's quit while you're ahead. You had one good idea type of a thing for creative type of a thing. He's willing to work and do all these things. It's just his ideas, everybody's just kind of like, everybody just kind of looks at each other and goes, really? That's your idea kind of a thing? You can make them better. You can do that, but he's not... He's not an idea machine. Let's put it that way. He's very nice. Nobody has a bad word to say about him in terms of attitude or working with him or anything like that. It's just, it's one of those things where it's like he'll have a great idea and then he'll try and top it and then it won't be topped kind of a thing. And that's the general impression I get. My fear is if they did think he'd be good for an on-camera role, we'd be getting battling general managers or a WWE style stable again. And these are things that the AEW fan base does not want. Period. Exclamation point. Whatever. No. What are you going to do with MVP then? You're going to make him part? Never mind.
Well, I don't think they want MVP.
I don't either, but I think MVP is interesting. I think MVP is a much more interesting manager than Shane O'Mac.
Oh, 100%. 100%. So I agree. I think it was a a leak. I mean,
it obviously might have been a blow off meeting. That's what I posited could in be the Discord. I just could said, be. Hey, yeah, you've been bugging us for so long. We'll meet, see what you have to say. You know, smile and say thanks for meeting with us, but we're going to pass it.
I'm going to disagree slightly with what you said about whether it could be a positive for business. What I will say is if they announced at some point in the next couple weeks, or if they heavily tease without actually saying it, or show his picture on TV or something like that, and say Shane McMahon's going to be at All In.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Just for a moment.
Yeah.
Didn't say it wasn't going to be good for business.
Oh, I thought you did. Okay.
I said it would turn off the fan base. I didn't say it would be good for business.
Okay. And I was going to say that. I agree that it will churn off a small portion of the fan base.
Yes. It'll get some eyeballs.
A vocal minority will bitch to high heaven about it. Some of them will stop watching. Some of them will hate watch it.
Yes.
But there also will
be. And it will pop a number that first week.
Yes. And it may sell some tickets to Wembley.
Yes.
If they announce that he's going to be coming, that's short term. Long term, there's zero positive.
Could he be seconding Bryan Danielson while not a second Shane Strickland?
Could be. Like, there's a number of things they could do. He could be, you know, he could be a liaison between, you know, whatever. Tony, I could hear the speech in my head already. Shane McMahon has a long history in this business. He's been part of a very successful company. He's had a successful in-ring career. He brings a lot to the table for a company like All Elite Wrestling, and we'd be foolish not to see what he has to offer. You know, something like that. You know, but long-term, and not even that.
Does he have a son that's training?
I was thinking about that, too. I don't know if he's training. I know he plays football. Declan?
Yeah, he was playing at Northwestern and then Indiana, I think.
Indiana this year, yeah. He transferred to Indiana. I mean, that could be part of it, too. I mean, you know, he could be trained.
Can you get my kid a job? Can you do this? Whatever.
Oh, and Tony, yeah, I'm all about getting kids jobs.
You're in the class with -1. Come on over.
yeah, you and Nick Wayne. I could see it. And I think it would be like, I don't think it would be very good television, but I think it would be fun to watch if you like chaos.
You know what? I don't even think the TV would be the fun part. I think watching Twitter lose their crap would be the fun part.
Absolutely.
Of it.
Yeah. No. And the trolling that would go on. I was half expecting the show tonight to start with Shane O'Mac's music playing and the Young Bucks coming up, you know, like to troll the fans, like something like that. And no Young Bucks tonight, surprisingly enough.
Or, you know, they do something like the old WWE used to do, and they do something symbolic. And they just, Shane O'Mac through a table or something like that. And
there was one thing on the show I thought could have been a tease, and we'll get to it. I'm more than likely reading too much into it, though.
Okay.
But we'll talk about it when we get there, if I remember. So very interesting. You know, a lot of discourse today about Shane, and I like Mike Gilbert's tweet. It was actually like I saw it today, but he had actually tweeted a couple weeks ago when it was JR that first came out that talking about the possibility of Shane McMahon in AEW, and everyone mocked him. And now 2 weeks later, a month later, here we are.
And now everybody's looking for receipts for JR. It's like,
whatever. Well, I'm sure, you know, probably his idea, you know, like JR, like Shane probably reached out to JR and said, hey, can you get me a meeting? You know, like, and Tony, I'm, you know, he'll, put it this way.
There's nothing wrong with meeting with people.
If he could figure out a way to get Vince McMahon on camera, I'm not sure he wouldn't do it.
Oh, God. I hadn't even pondered that this might be a gateway to get Vince on TV.
Like, I'm not saying he will. I'm not trying to start it.
I don't think Shane and Vince get along, so I don't think that's part of it.
No. I'm not saying this is leading to that. What I'm saying is Vince McMahon on AEW television would blow people's minds.
Yes.
And right now they're in a position where they don't have a TV deal. I think we got about 20 episodes of Dynamite left. Maybe a little bit more. 23. Like, we've been in the red zone a while. You know, like, you should close this thing. And I think they will.
Look, I'm a Bengals fan. We go into the red zone all the time, get penalties, and then another penalty, and then a penalty on the other side, which gives us another first down in the red zone. I know these things.
If they do, like, you know, 550,000 viewers and a 0.19 tonight, they may be back at the 30-yard line.
Shane may be main eventing all in.
I'm half expecting Shane McMahon and Darby Allin. I'll be honest with you.
Shane is too old to be doing these matches now. There's just no way he's going to be Sting. Doing that. Okay.
You know?
Touche, Paul. Yeah. I'm just trying to find a way out of this.
Bengals don't know the red zone. Oh, Trish is back.
Oh, God.
I saw she started following me today again, so I didn't know she wasn't. So that was nice. Update
with
on
a knife,
Emily.
Probably. And
maybe. Never mind. Continue. Update on Emily, by the way. We had her 6-week checkup today, and she's doing great. I posted the pictures on my Twitter if you want to see them of her before and after pics of her spine.
Yeah, I saw that. That's great news.
Yeah, absolutely. Two people now, Plethora 1C and Greg, our buddy Crowbar. Shane is a heel lead of the Money Crew. Crowbar. Bucks, Monet, Okada.
Yeah, I mean, that's who they'd go with, probably.
Yeah.
You know, when they install him as the new president to take over for Tony, and then we get another teammate EW versus the Elite story. Ain't that great? No.
We got a Stadium Stampede to do at All In, don't we? They usually do that.
Oh, God, you're right.
Yeah. Okay. Shane could be on that team, you know.
Well, Hangman has a match with was probably going to have a match with Darby, right? At
A rematch?
No, I was trying to think. Who's Darby fighting in
Jack Perry.
In Wembley? Okay.
So it won't be that.
That's what I was thinking, yes.
Yeah.
Shane replaces Jack Perry on Team Elite.
Oh, God. Bring on the chaos. Bring on the chaos. I love it. All right. So Dynamite was in Greenville, South Carolina tonight.
Yes.
Right before the show, WrestleTix tweeted out 2,931 fans. Last time in the building was exactly a year ago for Collision, and they did 4,500. So that's down like 33%. Not great. And I mean, really, to be fair, like, nothing was announced for this show. I mean, they announced
Osprey and Murder Hawk was announced, I think, on Saturday or Friday.
Saturday, and Hangman and Darby, I think, might have been announced on Saturday, but nobody watched those shows.
No.
So as of last week, the only match that had been announced was Willow and Chris Statlin. That's it.
Yes.
In a title eliminator match. So not even a title match. So that's literally all that was announced ahead of time. Anything from last week's show to this week's show, I don't count it.
Okay.
You know, it's too late. It's too late. Like,
I agree. Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you, but these are points I've been bringing up since I started this show.
You're in LA, right?
Yes.
If they're coming to LA next week, by this time, you've already made up your mind whether you're going next week or not.
Yeah,
you're not deciding on Tuesday, oh, maybe I'll go to the show tomorrow. I mean, you might.
I don't understand. Paul, I don't understand it either.
Yeah. You might be different because you're single. But I'm serious. Like, it's much easier for you to decide at the last minute
when
you go to a show. Whereas, you know, people with families, like, they got to make these plans.
People like to plan. It's one of those things where Tony is single and Tony doesn't care. So Tony does crap on the fly.
Yeah. And it's not going to cut it. And I mean, there was some star power on this show and we'll talk about it. But I mean, I don't know, man.
Let's get to the log line of this show. This show was perfectly fine.
Okay.
But it wasn't bad, but it wasn't good either. That's the thing. It was there. It was a show that existed. And it built up a couple of things. Okay.
And there was one awesome segment. And yes, honestly, like, and that'll make them a lot of money. And I mean, so if you want to have one takeaway from this show, and it was probably at the peak of what their audience is going to be for the show, other than the opening. So you, usually the opening and then the top of the second hour are usually the two peak points. Mm-hmm. And that's probably what it's going to be this time.
I agree.
And that's when they hit their key things, I thought. Although, we'll get into the opening segment. I wasn't a fan of it again. I'm getting kind of hard on Will Ospreay lately with his promos, but I don't know.
Ospreay was fine. I thought it was the other guy that made sense. But we'll get in.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, so we get the cold open, and I did the preview for this show earlier today for the YouTube thing, and you'll see the listing of everything that was scheduled for the show. As far as I know, they didn't announce MJF was going to be on the show. And he was. He obviously kicked it off. And I mean, if you're watching every week, you know MJF's going to be there, but he wasn't one of the things that was advertised. And he comes out and he does his old speech. He's making fun of South Carolina, not really part of America, which is the exact same thing he
How
said last week,
he?
Wherever they were.
I was born in South Carolina.
Oh. He said he defeated the redcoat terrorist Will Ospreay and brought the gold home. And on Sunday, August 25th at Wembley, he's going to be a one-man militia walking into enemy territories, and he's going to beat him again. This spawned USA chance for the heel here. And he asked the people to show him respect and rise for the American hero. And before they get a chance to do that, which they probably would have, Will Ospreay's music hits and he chased MJF out of the ring. And like, so when the music starts, I hit the fast forward 30 seconds button, like I always do. And by the time that 30 seconds was up, MJF was like at the top of the ramp and Will was in the ring. So
no, this is a good bailout. Will just went right down to the ring and MJF took the powder.
Yeah, wow. No, it was perfect, but it was quick. Like I actually rewound it because I didn't want to miss anything. Because usually I'm not missing anything when people do an entrance. So he got to Mike and he says, "Max, do yourself a favor and keep running. After what you said about my family, I'm going to put you through pain you can't imagine." Okay, I'm going to pause here. He says this. MJF said this stuff last week. MJF came out and confronted him last week, and he freaking laughed off the stuff. Like, he never mentioned it. Didn't bother him at all last week. Now a week, maybe he watched the show back, and like...
No, you know what it was? He went about his week, and like sometime on like Friday or Saturday afternoon, he's just walking. Like, he's walking his dog.
Wait a minute. Yeah, kind of like me last week.
Talk about my family.
Kind of like when you insulted Canada last week and it took me a second to
beat his ass. That's what I'm going to do.
Although, to be fair, someone's probably going to point this out to me in the Discord. He was driving to the arena. And so maybe he missed MJF's line about his grandma.
Well, he was concentrating on the road because we drive on the opposite side.
Yeah, right. Marvez was telling him jokes. So anyways, he says, last time I
Hold
checked.
Hold on, do you think Alex Marvez knows a joke?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think he can tell it very well.
No, I don't think he can tell one very well, but I think he might know one or two. Well,
he says, last time I checked, I'm in the USA, and if there's one thing I know about Yanks, it's that they love their flag. Not a single one of these people refused to acknowledge that championship because a prick like you is holding it. You took the international championship and threw it in the garbage like a piece of garbage. Men worked hard to make that title have legacy and lineage. Pac, Orange Cassidy, John Moxley. Where the hell is he? Ray Phoenix.
Got time off.
Okay, I know that because I read The Observer, but they haven't told us.
No, that's true. Okay, thank you.
Ray Phoenix, Roderick Strong, and myself. Week in and week out, we perform like our life is on the line for all these people. You do not fit that criteria, Max. It isn't that the international title isn't worth the MJF, anything to MJF. You're not worthy of holding it. There's more USA chance. Here I'm getting, like, he's telling this story. Meanwhile, all we heard this week about how is MJF is going to Mexico to defend the title against Templario. Then he's going to UK to defend it against Michael Oku. And Osprey's gaslighting us here. The fans are buying it.
Yeah,
so
that. And he's also the only one mad that Max has changed the title.
Yes. Yeah, they all wanted to be the American Championship, including the people that are fighting him for it.
I'm sure Pac would have gone, you know what? That's a better name than they gave me for, what was it, the All-Atlantic Championship.
And you know what Orange Cassidy would say?
Whatever.
Yeah. And Roderick would say, well! Oh, sorry. Sorry to blow your ear out there. So we get more USA chants. And he says, listen, guys, I get it. When you got something like that representing you guys, he doesn't represent the American spirit or the American work ethic. When you come to Wembley, I will restore the honor to that world international championship.
Again, how has he dishonored the championship?
Not one bit. Well, he threw it in the garbage.
Well, but, no, he threw that title in the garbage. He didn't throw the title that he has. He hasn't disrespected that at all.
Will is disrespecting the American championship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Stupid.
So Max says, you people, you like Will Ospreay. You're disgusting churncoats. I'm an American hero. I won't stand in there and cut promos like you. I'm going to annihilate you like your crooked teeth countrymen. You ain't going to make it to Wembley, bruv. Because tonight in South Carolina, everybody dies. And that was the cue for Lance Archer's music. And that was the promo. And it was weird, man.
A little, but I liked it. I mean, overall, yeah. It was good. Will's telling us a story they're not telling us, though. That's that, and you're right on that a little
bit.
Yeah, but at least he's...
But the South Carolina fans are stupid, and they bought it.
Well, look, they got Clemson down there. They are kind of dumb. It's an excuse to get Will out there to say bruv a couple times.
And MJF, too.
And MJF, yeah. I mean, it was fine. It was nothing to write home about, but it was fine.
It was, somebody else said it in here.
Perfectly cromulent?
No. It was basically same old shit. I don't know where.
MJF has regressed, and he's continuing to regress back into he's just MJF from before he ever left. Now he does. He's Miz with a cuss word.
Oh, well, it's Kyle Driver here said the MJF gimmick feels lazy. I guess I read
it. It is a little lazy. I'll give him that, but it works too. So it's one of those weird things.
So we get this match and, Will Ospreay, best wrestler in the world. Most dynamic, they signed this guy because he's going to wow the world. And it's a Lance Archer match.
It is a Lance Archer match. You are correct on that, sir.
Lance Archer beat the living shit out of him. They went through a break, chokeslammed him all over the place. Every time Ospreay tried anything, Lance countered it. They come back from the break. He goes for an Os cutter. Archer catches him, slammed him down, got a two count off another slam. Crowd starts singing the Ospreay song, but it's not very many of them. Excalibur said that MJF's words about Will's grandma last week are still hurting him. You know, like they're going back to that. Archer stomped him and grinded him out. Taz at this point, speaking of gaslighting us, tells us that MJF is paying off Archer, even though they never once even hinted at this.
I think he said he's probably there's probably some payoff.
Yeah, because he's done that before. Yes. And I mean, that would be a great story if that's what they were doing. Honestly, they probably should have done that.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
No.
Ospreay hits a Spanish fly. That got a two count. Went for the hidden blade, but Archer just took his head off with a lariat. And then Archer hit him with a knee to the jaw, like on the top rope. Went for the blackout. Ospreay reversed it into a DDT. Hit a hidden blade. Archer kicks out at one. and I figured something out here. Whenever somebody kicks out at one, they're getting hit with a move immediately and pinned. And yes, that's what happens. Yeah. And yeah, so then you
I hate the kick one. Out at one to do that. It's a roar spot. And they do this, and they overuse it way too much with the fighting spirit stuff.
To me, it works better when they do it, and then they keep going for like five more minutes.
Yes. But
every time they do it, the guy hits one more move.
Every
and
time.
Over.
Every time. Time they do the big, you know, or they're on their knees and they flip them off.
Osprey's like, oh, okay, here's another one.
Yeah, this is the standard 3-month Archer. Archer gets a couple wins on Collision or Rampage, fights a guy, takes 75% of the match, looks great, loses, and nothing is ever done with Archer ever again.
Well, it's because they're in Texas for the next month and a half, so he's going to probably get some Collision wins.
I'm fine with that, too, but, you know, give him something interesting to do. I mean, like, I'll give you this. Even teaming with the Righteous is somewhat interesting at times.
Yeah, you could do.
But tell a story with that. Do something.
Yeah, and this was I don't think it's much of a hot take for me to say that I thought this was maybe the worst Will Ospreay match that I've seen in AEW. It wasn't bad.
Nobody wants to see Will Ospreay get beat up.
No, that's it, right? Like, you
just
don't mind
do
it.
Look, this is why I rail for just ordinary squash matches. Take a local town and let Will Ospreay run through them like a hot knife through butter. We don't need the bangers all the time. I get that people are paying their money to say, well, we're going to see a Will Ospreay match. It's going to be 3.5 stars. It's going to be great. I get that. But it doesn't make Will Ospreay look like a star when he's getting beat up most of the match, and then he just pulls out a hidden blade, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. So after the match, MJF attacks him. Hit him with a brainbuster DDT. This Tony Schiavone says, he's not an American hero. And who should make the save but Kyle Fletcher? Now, I made the mistake of watching Rampage.
With Don Callis in tow.
Yes. So I made the mistake of watching Rampage. I watched it today, actually.
Okay.
And Kyle Fletcher was in the main event of that show, teaming with Roosh, and they won over three other tag teams. So it's the first time they'd ever teamed together, and they beat the Outrunners, I think it was Private Party and the Righteous, actually, I believe were the other three teams. And so he's a heel there, and he's acting all mean. He's giving his mean faces and everything, and he shows up here. So I tweet out at this point, I guess Kyle Fletcher's a babyface now. That's it. Like, I wasn't saying it didn't make sense. I know they're friends, you know, whatever. He's saving his friend. But I got people run down my throat.
They should run down your throat on this one.
Okay. Of all people, Dave Meltzer quote tweets me and says, it was a last minute decision because the original person that was supposed to do it couldn't make it. And I'm like, what the hell is Dave talking about? Huh? I don't know. Some people asked and he hasn't answered yet. It was a late replacement. The guy they wanted had commitments he couldn't get out of. What's he talking about?
Who had a commitment he couldn't get out of?
Yeah. So, like,
unless it was Moxley.
Maybe. Ricochet, someone speculated.
Because what commitments does Ricochet have right now?
Someone said the commitments are, and they posted a really
the commitments. You mean the band from Ireland, the Soul Band?
A really alluring picture of Samantha.
Samantha Irvin's.
I'm gonna retweet this one. Actually, you can see it on my thing.
I've seen.
Yeah, so Trevor Lee or Daniel Garcia, someone spoke of Shane McMahon.
Shane McMahon.
Someone asked him to steal it. So everyone is like just as baffled as I was by this.
That's a baffling statement.
I guess maybe he'll probably.
Because actually, Fletcher makes sense.
It makes
more sense than anybody else making the same.
It's out of left field. That's all I'm saying. Like, when they did the breakup,
Mark Davis
made a choice. He chose Callis over his brother.
Yes, he did.
He put it, yeah. So, whatever. He makes a save. He cuts a fiery promo. He says,
by the way, Fletcher's outfit here was ridiculous. His haircut combined with the penny loafers with no socks and whatever pants he was wearing at the time. It looked a lot like he's a member of the Callis family.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not that ridiculous.
So he addresses Callis. He says, I know you said no more getting involved, but that is my best friend. He may not be part of the Callis family, but that's my brother. He's laying in a heap on the ground right now because of that narcissistic asshole. I won't let him injure whoever he wants without zero repercussions. Max, I am your karma coming to bite you in the ass. I heard every single word you said last week. I don't know, you don't give a damn about America. You only care about what's best for MJF. Secondly, I heard what you had to say about foreign wrestlers. When I was 8 years old, I dreamt to come to this country because this is where the best wrestle. This country has given me my dream girl, my nice car, a wife. I will be forever grateful.
I got a dream girl and a wife out of it. That's America, baby.
Yep. And the car was between the girl and the wife. So number one was the dream girl. Number two was the car. Number three was the wife.
Wife man, get rid of the dream car, probably, too.
Yeah, probably. He says, I'll be forever grateful. I may be no politician, but I speak for Australia and the United Kingdom, and we are sick of the same old MJF bull crap. So come down here so I can punch your face a few times. And MJF says, you want me right now? You want MJF? You want it? No. Tony Schiavone, the master strategist, says, I knew it. He's not going to do it. He's a coward. He's like Master Chad Gable here.
I laughed at that, actually.
Yeah, I did.
Tony just Captain Obvious over here. Yeah. I knew it.
He's watching his Chad Gable tapes. MJF says, you don't call the shots, wannabe Will. That was a good line. I do. Nobody punches an American hero in the face and gets away with it.
I laughed at that, too.
USA chance for that one. You want a match? It'll be on my time. Dynamite next week. You're on. And if you thought Wembley last year was bad, Kyle Fletcher, I'm going to kangaroo kick your face off. I'll make sure you suffer the same fate Daniel Garcia did. I'll break your neck and I'll leave you in a pool of your own blood. So Garcia's got a broken neck now. I wasn't aware of that.
That might be the guy who was supposed to make the save.
Maybe. I don't think he signed, but
maybe that's the commitments they couldn't
Maybe. He's gonna be at the Cleveland on Saturday. And you'll only have Will to blame. I can't wait to see the look on your face when I dismantle your little boy, and for that you can thank me later. And that wasn't bad. It built up a match for next week.
I liked it. It was missing one thing though.
What's that?
And MJF is usually better at this, tying all the ropes. MJF needed to say something to Don Callis.
Yeah, like
MJF need to control your boy or something like that. You know, to really get this, to really get over that Fletcher is kind of being a rogue against the family right now. Because I half expected
Jason might have been Michael Oku. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. That could have.
Yeah, because everybody would have known who Michael Oku is. No offense, I just it's one of those things where I look at that and go yes, that's perfect for AEW, and then it's like, oh, that's Michael Oku.
Yeah,
great. You know,
now that I think about this makes more sense than I thought, because not only are they best friends, but Kyle Fletcher teamed with Roosh, and MJF had a match with Roosh not that long ago.
Yes,
and insulted him.
Yeah, and so Don, see, I thought I half expected Don Callis to like give him a nut shot.
I was expecting Kyle Fletcher to turn on Will this whole promo, to be honest with you.
Oh, really? Like, okay.
Yeah, probably. I'm fed pilled.
I liked the promo. I just it was weird
Kyle Fletcher's ever cut.
Oh yeah, and it was weird watching Callis afterwards. He just kind of shakes Will's hand. I kind of dig that too. I kind of dig like uneasy alliances and just kind of, you know.
Oh, we'll get to uneasy alliances in a little while. Another weird match that we got later. This whole card, like
business is business type of a thing. Yeah, it was kind of cool.
A lot of the matches on this card were kind of weird.
But no, I thought Fletcher did pretty well for himself here.
Yeah.
It's just going to lead to him losing, though. That's the thing.
No doubt. We got a video package highlighting Swerve's title reign. They posted a graphic and then they took it down right away because I'm almost wondering if they realized how stupid it was. He was named the first African-American world champion in All Elite Wrestling. That's what the graphic said. Not that he was the first person to win it. He was named, is how it was worded in the graphic. Interesting. They showed highlights of the match he had with Ospreay. They showed highlights of a cage match with, probably from Blood and Guts, I guess, because it was him and Hangman. And he was voicing over the last part of it. And he said, I'm the most dangerous man in AEW, Brian Danielson. I'll see it all in. This will be your final countdown. So it's a nice little promo. Video package, which led us to Big Bill. And on the scale of learning tree segments, this was pretty high up there. I thought
I have decided that now Jericho's just looking to do things to piss people off. or to go against every single trope that exists in wrestling just to do it.
Could be.
Because this segment was both genius and stupid at the same
time. He's got a cake.
Yes.
And it says 102 days. So it's a celebration of 102 days as FTW champ for Jericho.
And Big Bill has the best statement. This is
Big Bill says 100 days is one thing. But 102 days is next level.
Yeah, it's next level.
Next level, he says. And then that's all he said. That's all he said. And then the camera cuts to Jericho and he waits. And he waits. And he waits. And he says, "Hi, guys." And the fans booed. They didn't chant it with him. They didn't cheer. And he says, "Imagine that, Alex Marvez. 102 days, Marvezzi. The longest running champ in the business. And
for the world champ,
yes, correct.
You're welcome.
He says, in the history of professional wrestling, there's never been a cake that didn't end up smashed in someone's face. And the only face that's gonna be smashed is yours, Shibata. You're all alone. There's no Samoa Joe, there's no Hook, because we threw a fireball in his face. And next week on Dynamite, I think he said it was next week. Might have been Collision, I can't remember. And when they did the rundown later, they never mentioned this match. The Bad Apple will take you out, Shibata. So you need to mind your own business. And next week, I'm your business." And Bill gave the cake to Marvez. I thought for sure he was going to smash it in his face. And he just, "Nope, here's the cake." And it tells him to have a bite. So he puts his finger in it, takes a little bite. And then and he says, "Not too bad." And, or, you know, Brian
Keith. You missed the Brian Keith.
Brian Keith
fake
told
out.
Him to eat the cake. Oh, yeah. He went like this, like to push it up into his face. And then he stopped. And
if you respect Chris Jericho, you'll eat some of the cake.
Yeah, and he eats it, and he said, "Oh, not bad." And that was it. No smash cake. I was both amazed.
This was to tweak Jim Cornette, I think.
Yeah, and
in
Brian.
Some ways, because Cornette's the guy who was behind most of these cake segments in, I think, both Mid-South and Memphis. Don't quote me on the Memphis part, but I know he did these a few times in Mid-South, and I know he did this in Smoky, and I know he did this in WCW. He was the big guy with the cake where it would get smashed and whatever.
It's too bad we didn't have more time on this show, because we could have had a couple segments with Marvez sitting at the table eating his cake and having like Jericho randomly show up.
I don't even want segments. I just want him in the background of segments. Eating the cake.
And then like, having someone come up like Brian Keith, like as if they're going to push his face into it and then stopping and not doing it. And the whole show, you get like three or four of them, and he never gets his head put in the cake.
But
like,
this whole segment is a blue ball by Jericho, because he takes that unnecessary long dramatic pause before he does the "Hey guys" thing. He's just pissing us off now. And I'm kind of appreciating it.
Turning a corner on this. I hate to say it,
because it's unrepentantly stupid, and I dig the unrepentant stupidity of it.
I'm all for unrepentant stupidity.
I've now been trying to think of other segments.
Yeah,
that people do like he's gonna bring like a kid in, and he's gonna just let him win like $100 or something instead of like kicking a ball from him or something.
If you can do this, I'll give you like $100. And then he just does it.
And then he lets the kid go and gives him the $100.
And Brian Keith, "You better thank Chris Jericho.
You better respect this $100.
And then in 20 years, people are going to play this when you're...
Jericho's now looking through old Bill Watts Mid-South tapes for these types of segments to do.
So that was all right. And that brought us to Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale. A big time grudge match here for the CMLL women's title an eliminator match for the CMLL women's title.
Yes.
And I was surprised that this match had not a lot of heat, because this feud has been really good. And every time these two are in the ring together, the crowd seems to explode. And for whatever reason, they just weren't that into this match. They did boo Statlander. There was a segment at the beginning. I don't know how much you pay attention to the commentary, but they're talking about Willow and how much she likes to smile and everything. And Taz, the heel, says, "Willow is disingenuous. You just can't trust her." Tony Schiavone, of all people, says, "You are right." And I'm like, what? I swear to God this happened. I rewound it three times to listen to it. So I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm with you here on the lack of heat. I think a lot of this was on Willow. I really do. I think Willow just had a really poor night in some ways. And I'll tell you the other thing is that confrontation with Stokely had to be more.
Yeah, yeah. And it was clearly just a setup. I mean, you could tell like the way they shot it.
Yeah.
Like when she's got Stokely and she's got him by the throat and she's doing this, but she doesn't really hit him or anything. And meanwhile, they're deliberately shooting her from behind. So you know Statlander's
coming.
Yeah.
But then Statlander doesn't come. So they're trying to figure out something to do.
Yeah. And Willow should have just either thrown him
into the barricade or really hit him. And it came off as, no, you've been waiting to get your hands on this guy who's been attacking you for all this time. And all you do is you turn him around and slap him in the back of the head. No.
Yeah. It was, it was really weird. And they were slow at points. I wrote here. She, you know, and they're doing the moves, a spine buster. She tried a doctor bomb, couldn't hit it. Stat went for an electric chair. Then she hit that. An axe kick.
Statlander was really good in this match, too. That's the thing.
Yeah, she was good. Well, she was going over. So, and then there was a spot where Willow was choking Stoke. And finally, Stat hit her with a clothesline. Rolled her back in, went for something. But Willow powerbombed her, got a DDT for two. Excalibur said this match is more about Chris Statlander's hatred for Willow than wanting the belt.
That wasn't worked like a hated match though. See, nope. You're telling us things that you're not telling the story on.
Exactly. Yeah. There was a very light Let's Go Willow chant. Statlander went to the top, hit a 450 splash for two, which I've never seen her do. It looked great.
It looked great, but also looked like her knees hit Willow in the gut.
Well, and she did barely get her shoulder up, so she might have.
I don't know if she got her shoulder up. That's
I noted. I noted here, and it's the only time I noticed it. There's a guy in the front row, looking like Shane McMahon, but he had MJF garb on. Did you see this guy?
Yes, it
was weird. Stokely distracted the ref, and he handed Statlander a chain. She wrapped the chain around her arm, and then hit Willow with a spinning lariat, and got the pin. Then. Like a great heel, tossed the chain to the outside. Stokely stuffs it in his back pocket.
No, did not shove it outside. I was going to bring this up because this is actually one of my favorite parts of this match.
Okay.
This was the between Aubrey, Statlander, and Stokely. This was one of the better uses of hiding of a foreign object because she puts it between her legs while she's pinning and she's desperately looking at Aubrey. To get the back turned so she can slip it out eventually. She slips it into her other hand to Stokely, who also just kind of puts it behind his back and into his back pocket.
Yeah, yeah.
And Aubrey actually is in position to not see it the entire time. I thought this came off rather well, to be honest.
Yeah, no, it was great. I didn't mean to insinuate that it wasn't. It was very good. And then he gave Statlander a chair. She beat on Willow with it. Security came down to break it up. She beat up the security guards and people popped for that, for this baby face or for this heel. And then
she just stopped.
Yeah, she just stopped because I think she realized that they were cheering and she didn't want them to cheer. So that was actually smart. And then as they're leaving, Stokely looks at Willow and she's all hurt from being beat up. And he says, smile anyway. That was great.
That was great.
Yeah. So clearly they're going to do probably some sort of a hardcore match, either at All In or All Out is my guess. I've seen people predicting that this will be the main event of All Out. I think that would be a mistake.
Slow your roll, kids.
Yeah, yeah. But definitely should be a high profile match on probably All Out, to be honest with you. All In's pretty full. They showed highlights of the thing last week backstage with Jeff Jarrett interrupting the Bryan Danielson. Renee Paquette interview, and I fast forwarded through because I saw it last week, but that led into Danielson coming to the ring for a promo. And Tony Schiavone reminded us, he said it's his last year and he's got a title shot at Wembley. Tells us that he's never held a belt in AEW. So he gets in the ring, fans are chanting yes. He's got a smile a mile wide. Said it's great to be in Greenville, and people go nuts. He says, usually people say it for a cheap pop. But my wife and I got our engagement pictures taken right here. Taz says, why? That was great.
I kind of did too, to be honest with you. It's not that I don't like Greenville. It's very, I mean, South Carolina has some very pretty stuff, but Greenville.
Fans chanted for Brie. And Excalibur explained that they're fans of cheese.
Now, that was Taz, I think, again.
No, it was Excalibur. It was definitely Excalibur. Okay. Yeah. And he says, Bree and I were just looking through those pictures. And he says, you don't realize it's the good old days till they're almost gone. And the fans chant, no, no, no. Hey, you hear Brian Danielson tried to trademark the yes chant? That's weird, eh? Like, why would he need to? He can use it in AEW unless he's planning on taking it somewhere else. I don't know. It's weird.
And so WWE doesn't take it again?
Oh, maybe, yeah. But I didn't think he could trademark a chant. What happened?
I didn't think he could because Diego Sanchez.
Yeah, exactly. Deal. Yeah, well, I guess he didn't trademark it. Anyways, it says, tonight we're here to talk about two things, present and promises. And I was like, I was worried we were getting a repeat of the Britt Baker promo, but definitely wasn't that. He says, I've been very lucky in my career. I was forced to retire. It was all taken away. But since I came back, I've been able to be present. I was able to know and be present in the good old days. These last 3 years in AEW have been incredible. Funnest time in my career. Tonight, before I came out here, I was able to be present behind that curtain. When I came out here, I was able to be present while you chanted yes. And he pointed to goosebumps on his arm like The Rock. And fans chant, thank you, Brian. And he smiles again and he says, there's just some moments I'll never understand. Thank you for that. And he says, from that moment, I was able to be present. Now, let's talk about promises. I promised my daughter that when she was 7, I'd stop wrestling full time. Promised my family with AEW that my contract with AEW would be the last one I ever signed. Well, that contract ends tomorrow. So this is the first we've heard of this, although if you're following on social media, you knew this. So he's without a contract, even though he's fighting for the world title at Wembley. And believe me or not, like, I do believe he's without a contract because Tony has given people the world title without contracts before. So I have no reason to doubt this. So the fans didn't like that. He says, I promised myself that every time I step foot in this ring, I'd give every single thing I had because you deserve it. And for myself, because I deserve it. Fans chanted, you deserve it. When I came to AEW, I was going to do two things. I was going to kick people's heads in and I was going to win the AEW World Championship. Last 3 years, I kicked a lot of people's heads in, but I have not won the AEW World Championship yet. Now, this is probably my last shot. Nope, it is my last shot. AEW's biggest show of the year at Wembley Stadium at All In. Doctors are telling me I shouldn't wrestle. Family doesn't want me to wrestle. My promise is I will go to Wembley and I'll be present for that moment. I will give you every single thing that I have. I will give you 100% when 101% is not possible. I promise that at All In, with my body, my mind, and my soul, I will go all in. And just to be sure, and before he can finish whatever else he's going to say, we get the Who's House thing. So I thought it was interesting that the one thing he didn't promise was to win the world title. Did you pick up on that?
Yes.
Yeah. So that was smart. Daniel's a smart guy. Or Brian is a smart guy. So Who's House, Swerve comes out. Nana is coffee first, and then it's Swerve and a mic. And Excalibur is pointing out that, wow, Jeff Jarrett must have motivated Danielson because this is a different Brian Danielson than we saw last week. So I think, yeah, sure is. The fans, they're fickle, as Daniel Bryan famously pointed out a few years ago, because now they're chanting for Swerve. And then Bryan gets them to do the yes chant. And Swerve grabs a mic. He says, I'm going to keep it real, Bryan. I respect the hell out of you, man. You inspired a generation of young wrestlers to pursue their dreams, me included. Any other time, I'd be rooting for you to go to All In and win the title and have your moment. But this is Swerve Strickland's time. When I came to AEW, I said I was going to win the AEW World Championship. I did. You're one of the greatest of this generation, but I'm one of a kind. 10 years from now, people are going to want to press rewind. You came in here and said you're going to win the AEW World title. Guess you couldn't handle it. Or you said you're going to kick in a lot of heads, and you did, but you couldn't handle it when they started kicking back. And he paused for a reaction, and that got none because I think the fans are, oh, shit, he's right. He says, I'm going to let you know right now, Brian. This is not an achievement award. This is not something you get after 25 years of service. This here belt shows everyone that you are the best in the world, and I am the best in the world.
Which is interesting because he was named the first earlier in the evening.
Yeah. he says, you challenged Will Ospreay. You had a classic match, but you lost, and you got hurt. Will challenged me, and I beat him. You took on the Elite at Anarchy in the Arena, and you're the one that got pinned. I led Team AEW at Blood and Guts, and we won. Last year, I competed at All In. Didn't point out that he lost. And you are too broken down to make the flight. Maybe your body just can't handle the pressure of being the champion. I know you like to make promises, and you want to be in the moment. Let me make a promise to you. I promise you that I'm the most dangerous man in AEW. I'm also going to promise you this. You will not be walking out of All In as world champion. Hell, after I'm done with you, you may never walk again. And he smiled at him, and he walked out of the ring. I thought this was freaking phenomenal. This is like maybe the best promo I've ever seen from Swerve.
I would go there.
Yeah, like the points he made about Will, like about Brian and the matches he lost and the stuff he did. Like
he wasn't playing to the crowd. He didn't take that moment to get out of character, lose focus, go to the audience and play the Who's House stuff.
Promo was for Danielson.
Yes,
this wasn't for the crowd. This wasn't.
That's what made it so good. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, this was great. So Danielson now he's gotten to, and he says, Swerve. Yeah, I have one more promise. I promise you that if I don't win the AEW World Championship, I will never wrestle again. And Swerve smiled, and he says, your title, my career at All In. Swerve, what do you say? So Swerve gets back in. Danielson extends his hand. They shook on it. Swerve says, that's very noble of you, Brian, but don't keep that promise to me. Keep it to your family. And that's it.
That's why he didn't promise up top too.
This was brilliant because now, like, my first thought, my immediate thought is, well, Danielson's got to be winning because we all know Brian said, and this may be strategic, Brian Danielson is a liar. He's told us over and over again he's a liar. All this shit about, oh yeah, he'll wrestle 10, 15, 20 times a year for the next till he dies, you know, like he said this. He literally could lose and never wrestle again.
I'm thinking that's a possibility.
And I believe that if he loses, he will never wrestle again. I actually believe that.
Yes.
So because I believe that, I actually expect him to win. But
you're doing the thing where it's like, I am going to talk myself into this.
No.
And then like, I'm going to make him go the other way.
My immediate thought was he's going to win. He has to win because it's not the last we've seen of him. But then it reminded me that, oh shit, like he has said in the past that he's a liar.
Yeah.
So he may actually be done. And his contract is up.
I think he gets the moment and then he like loses 2 weeks later. Washington.
Like wins the title and then lose. Yeah, yeah.
He's going to lose in Washington.
He's got to defend against Darby at Grand Slam Dynamite.
Is Washington before Grand Slam?
No. No,
okay,
October. So he could beat Darby.
Okay, yeah.
Could beat Darby. I expect that Tacoma match, if Danielson wins, it'll probably be a rematch with Swerve.
Possibly.
Would be my guess at Wrestle Dream, and then maybe Swerve gets the title back. Or MJF goes in and beats him. MJF goes and beats him in his hometown and retires him. Could do that.
Hangman.
Oh, yeah. I thought this was great. And now I'm like, I'm leaning to Danielson winning, and before this week, I was totally 100% expecting Swerve to win. So
as great as this was, I hated the follow up.
Which with Jarrett.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. So they go backstage, and Danielson's just blowing off Jarrett, and Excalibur's already told us that, oh, Jarrett must have motivated him. And he's like, you want to see if I'm all in? Well, you wrestle me next week and you'll find out if I'm all in. So now
why is Danielson being a jerk all of a sudden?
I don't know.
That's what I didn't get. I was like, okay, it's like, cool, you know, whatever. But now Danielson is cranky and he's going to be the heel in the match when he went out there basically to be the babyface. He turned himself babyface again because you never know with this Blackpool Combat Club. And he does that and then Swerve, he puts his career on the line and he goes backstage and he's mad about it. So he chews out Jarrett, who's been nothing but supportive of him.
Except Jarrett and Lethal and Singh and Karen and Sanjay, they're all heels.
hold on. They're self-interested, but in terms of the story, they're backing Jeff's play here.
In the story, they're baby faces. But I was watching Rampage on from Friday, and Karen Jarrett's out there as a babyface manager, and I was just blown away.
It's weird. I mean,
extremely weird. So but I think this is just leading to them being heels again.
I think so too. But the thing is, it's just one of those things where I've watched that. It's like, I don't want to see Danielson do that. Because no. That's what happens when he gets into these
types of... The sickos are just going to go, yeah, we get Brian Dennison.
Well, no. He gets into these stories, and he decides he's going to be intense. And when he gets intense, he becomes a jerk. And I don't want to see Brian Danielson be a jerk in his run-up to All In. And that's what this was. He's probably going to take it out on Jarrett, too, in that match. And it's like, no, that's not what we want to see here. We want to see the old gunman, you know, in one.
Or we're going to see Hangman come in and
that's take possible
both of them out. Yeah, because Hangman's unhinged.
And after tonight, he's going to be even more unhinged. So, yeah, I think he comes out and just blow. Because remember, he did that in the Battle Royal on Friday, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so they're going to save it that way. But still didn't make any sense for Danielson to jump down Jarrett's throat like that.
True, yeah.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records and being passed over for less qualified white applicants." Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
So you brought up earlier uneasy alliances, and that leads us to our next match, which was the conglomeration. And unfortunately, we did not get a Briscoe promo this week. Orange Cassidy, Tomohiro Ishii, and Mark Briscoe. Okay, that's a team. There are three.
That's an uneasy alliance. No.
No, that's a great alliance. Three-fourths of a great trio.
This is a main event 605 match.
But they're challengers. Roosh is part of the Don Callis family.
Yes.
Although you wouldn't know it. Well, I guess Callis was on commentary.
Callis came out with him and then went to the broadcast.
Yeah, see, I missed that because I fast-forwarded the entrance. I heard Callis on commentary very late in the match, but during the match, like most of the match, it was just the other guys just, you know, wowing at the moves. And we're going to talk about this match in a second. But and then Roderick Strong from the Undisputed Kingdom.
Right.
And Ortos, who everyone assumed was there to eat the pin. Well, funny.
Yes, like I said, this is a 605 main event type of match.
Yeah.
You know? This is a TV main event type of match from the 80s.
So this match starts and it's Orange Cassidy and Mortos, and they're doing a bunch of stuff. Crowd loves it. Orange Cassidy's treated. He's a matador, and Mortos, of course, the former Black Taurus, is a bull, and you know, they're doing these spots, and Taz claims that Orange Cassidy's stealing his spots. That's all fun. And then all of a sudden, randomly, Orange is gone. Now it's Ishii in there. And him and Mortos are squaring off. And then next thing you know, it's Roosh and Ishii. And these guys are just randomly, one will leave and one will come in. I'm thinking, oh, maybe it's Lucha Rules. Like, you know, where you don't need a tag. You just, you know, replace. Because they were literally like, they do a couple spots. One guy would leave.
You know what this felt like? It felt like Tony going, okay, let's see if I can build some singles matches out of this. Let's see how people react.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to see. Yeah. Like
set pieces.
I wanted to see Roosh and Mark Briscoe.
I want to see Roosh and Ishii now. Yeah, I really do.
I want to see Ishii and Mortos after this. Orange Cassidy and Mortos would be fun. So we're getting all these spots, but like nobody's tagging. Like there's all this stuff. So we do all this through the break or into the break. They come back from the break. Now there's people on the outside, and Orange Cassidy's trying to make a hot tag. And like, oh, it's like, oh, okay, we're back to rules again. So Mortos and Roosh are double teaming Orange Cassidy, and they're talking about a legal man. So, okay, it's not Lucha Rules. So Orange Cassidy made a hot tag to Briscoe. He goes wild on Roosh and Mortos. And then Roosh did a dive to the outside, took out three guys, including his own partner. And that's when they brought up, oh, this uneasy alliance between these three heels. So at this point, I figured, okay, the three heels are going to end up brawling with each other, and the babyfaces are going to win. That's how this match is going to end. And then we get back where Strong and Ishii are in the ring. Roderick Strong out of nowhere just hits a tiger driver out of nowhere. The move that so devastating. Will Ospreay's never going to use it again, and it's a transition move here.
Everybody's getting Tiger drivers.
I know. Didn't Deonna use one or something?
No. I think it was Aminata that used it in the in Ring of Honor.
One of the women
used it in the Ring of Honor paper.
You're right.
It was actually decent.
Yeah, no, it was good, but it's just like nobody should be doing a Tiger.
I'm still kind of amazed at that Diamante Leyla Hirsch hardcore match.
Oh yeah, well,
AEW women's hardcore division that I dream about is coming.
If you saw the one the week before that they did on Ring of Honor, you know, TV,
yeah,
you'd be even more amazed because it was not good at all.
No,
and it was a hardcore match. I did
see that one. Yeah.
Oh, you did. Okay, so this was it was way better. I did watch the ROH pay per view. I was exhausted at the end of it. If that had been a 2-night pay per view, it might have been my favorite two shows of the year. But all those matches in one night, it's too much. It's like having a big meal that you just ate too much and you're sick afterwards. Anyways, then they just did the spots where every single guy comes in, does their move, out, in. Briscoe tried to hit the J-Driller, and Roosh headbutted him. And then Mortos just pinned Mark Briscoe, and that was it. The Ring of Honor world champion pinned in the middle of the ring in a six-man. The booking of Mark Briscoe just confounds me. Is that the right word? Use of the word confound?
Yes, is because it's very confusing that you got pinned. But remember, Ring of Honor titles don't matter on AEW.
No, I know. I don't even know if they mentioned he was the Ring of Honor world champion.
But maybe we're getting Mortos and Mark Briscoe for the Ring of Honor title.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Mortos has been winning matches, and he won a match on the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. No, that's great. It was just I wasn't expecting it. I was expecting Mortos to lose because I don't think we've ever seen him win in AEW. So
no, we haven't.
But he's over, and hey, good for him. You know, like that's great. Callis liked the match. I thought it was just a fun showcase. It was like 8 million other matches we've seen in AEW.
It was every party match that has a conglomeration in it.
Speaking of party matches, did you see the party match on NXT? But yes. With the women?
Yes.
Oh my God. Like I was blown away. Like not that it was like a match of the year or anything like that, but I don't think I've ever seen the women have a party match like that. You see it with guys all the time, you know, but I've never seen it with women. I want to see it in AEW now. I want to see like,
it wasn't bad.
No, but it was fun. Like that was the thing. Like, yeah. So anyways, Kingdom came in to congratulate Roddy, and Callis said he loved it when a plan comes together. So I'm guessing he's probably recruiting Mortos. And then Kyle O'Reilly came in to check on his teammates. I don't know if you caught this, but he's like, he's got Briscoe and Orange Cassidy's out there. Kyle and Orange are like got smiles on their faces a mile wide while they're like tending to Briscoe, who's trying to sell that he just got beat up. It was really weird, like almost like they didn't know the camera was on them.
I think that's probably the thing.
Yeah.
And Briscoe probably said something funny.
Yeah, or just, you know, whatever. I can't believe
I got hurt like this.
Or Kyle's probably like, that was a hell of a match, dude.
Yeah.
And Mark's like, shut up, the camera.
Kyle, sell you dope.
Yeah, exactly. So we go backstage. This segment, the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass. So Billy says, get ready. Everyone load the family up. Strap your seatbelts up. We're coming to Collision. And then Max Caster, who I think these guys, this may have been their heel turn.
I'm coming to the conclusion that everybody in the Acclaimed is turning heel.
Yeah.
Maybe not Teddy.
Maybe he hasn't figured it out yet. But he says, right now we're live from the Mid-Atlantic. The best wrestler alive. The MVP of Blood and Guts. I'm like, what is he talking about? And keep in mind, I haven't seen Collision yet, which I understand he cut almost the same promo here.
He cut the same promo on Collision.
He says, we're looking for FTR in their home territory, but they're not here because they're frightened of the Blood and Guts MVP, the best wrestler alive. You're scared of the Acclaimed. The Acclaimed love the Carolinas. The Southern hospitality is great. I want to be welcomed by Dax and Cash, who said, I'm not a serious wrestler. I think maybe you're not serious wrestlers because you didn't show up to get your ass whooped by the best wrestler alive. Like, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Then Bowen says, you didn't show up and man up about what you said. And at this point, I'm like, okay, are they like legit? Like, is this like Tony's mad they didn't show up to a booking? Like, is that what happened here? Like, I have no idea. But the funny thing is then I'm wondering, like, is Collision taped this week? But no, they're doing their residency.
No, I think FTR was on Collision with the Acclaimed or something. Or they called out the Acclaimed or something like
that. Yeah. So, So he says, the scissor king and the best wrestler alive are going to come to you.
Okay, so this was the point where I thought everybody's turning heel, because before, when he was calling himself the best wrestler alive, Bones would kind of throw him a look, and I thought they were going to split up. But now he's bought into Max Caster being the best
wrestler
alive.
And he's changed his look a little bit, too, to look more...
Yes, he no longer has the porn stash. He kind of has, like, a thin goatee going on.
Yeah, yeah. So it's... he says, so will you show up? I know Dallas will show up because everyone loves the Acclaimed. It's time to nut up or shut up. And, I mean, it's a good promo, I thought. You know, like, as long as you accept the fact that they're heels. Like...
What if they turn on Billy Gunn here so that Billy can join his sons in the Bang Bang Gang? Because
yeah,
they turned babyface.
Yeah. It's weird. And I think they're probably going to lose to FTR and lose their title shot at Wembley, would be my guess.
I think it's going to be a three-way.
Well, I guess if they claimed their heels, that might work. Because, like, I think they're actually... I might get into them as heels. You know, it's just... It's weird now that they're... You know, now that I figured out that they're heels, it's kind of cool.
They used to be heels. This isn't their first rodeo.
Yeah. No. Then we get, this was advertised, Renee Paquette sit-down interview with Mariah May.
This is a waste of time is what this was.
Well, yes and no. And I'll explain why once I recap everything here.
Okay.
Because my first reaction was exactly the same as you, that, you know, like, I don't know what exactly it was accomplished here.
It was, okay, you get to it. I'll give my opinion afterwards.
She said, I said all I need to say already, but ask your questions. And Renee says, we want an explanation. So she says, well, what more do I have to say? Do you not watch the show? And at this point, I'm like, okay, she's on Twitter. Because this is the response I got every time I question why Mariah May is a heel. Oh, do you watch the show? Do you watch the show? Like, it's like, so she asked, do you not watch the show? From day one, I said I wanted to be just like Toni Storm. I got closer to her than anyone. And then I sliced her open and wore her skin. What do you not understand? And then Renee says, well, why Toni Storm? What'd she do to you? And Mariah says, nothing. That's why it's perfect. She gave me everything I ever wanted. Toni always said this business would eat you alive. Well, it's my turn to eat. So now that Toni Storm is back, I'm not answering any questions. And Renee's like, okay. And she walks out. So I will say my first reaction was nothing happened here, but I actually think a lot was explained here. She explained exactly why she's a heel. It's funny.
I think tuned out a little bit the moment she goes and I wore her skin.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's a little much. I mean, I get that you came out in the gimmick and stuff. I get that. But then it's like, I just did it for no reason. Like,
but she's telling us, you know what, the signs are there. If you want to see it, go watch the show. I mean, they were there. I'm not explaining it all to you. I had this planned right from the start. So, you know, if you want to say it's gaslighting, you know, whatever. But I like this actually. May have turned on Toni too early and now we're getting this feeler stuff. That
like
is
they're, like, they're,
possible.
Like they're throwing spaghetti at the wall and trying to see what sticks there in terms of her
it's possible because
stuff.
I mean, you say it's too early and it did feel too early, but the problem is they got this match that they got to do.
No,
and
I thought it was right on time. I just didn't buy what they did with Mariah in the aftermath. It was really just a lot of unearned stuff.
Well, it wasn't set up properly. So
I agree that
the fans
that
didn't
too.
Know how to respond was part of the issue too. And then you had that bad crowd. That 1 week too, so which didn't help.
I mean, that's not the fault of the crowd. They just decided to dress
no, they
up
were
her.
Bad all night because the audio was off and everything. Like it,
yeah,
was,
but I, they, I mean, but that was the fault of them. They should have hyped up. Okay, we're gonna see the transformation of Mariah May. Give it a week, cultivate it, plug it, and then do it. Then it would have been.
And they
better.
Didn't even like. I don't even think those fans knew it was Mariah. Like,
no, they didn't for a while until she started to talk, and then
Even then, you know, two blonde women with an accent. So it was. But yeah, I mean, I think I really like this.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was good and it was a very different Mariah May. Like we've never seen Mariah May like this.
No, Mariah's a heel is far better, I think.
Yes.
And she feels like she's 10 years older than from when she debuted, when she's playing this character. It's very odd to me. I'm just watching her go, God, she, it's not a bad thing, but it's like, it's just a weird maturity. That's just like, whoa. Okay, cool. I can dig.
Yeah.
That.
She looks like the seasoned vet.
Yeah. I just find her reasonings dumb. That's all.
Yeah. Well, I don't think she cares. So this leads to Toni coming out, no music. And she's in the same outfit she was wearing last week.
And this is even worse to me.
This was weird. So she's got a mic and she says, Mariah May, you said you loved me. Well, I loved you too. They said that you should find what you love and let it kill you. Well, at All In, it's going to be the romance of a bloody lifetime. And that was it. And I just pointed out she's dressed in the same outfit as last week. She's got her makeup is all, it's total Bette Davis. Like she's 100% transformed into Bette Davis now from whatever she was before.
Yeah, I think we're going into whatever happened to Baby Jane.
Yes.
As opposed to
All About Eve or
All About Eve. We're going into the other big Crawford. You know what? She may come out of this. Whatever happened to Baby Jane? She may become. I just watched the Faye Dunaway documentary on Max. She may become like Joan Crawford in Mommy Dearest. Eventually, you know, with like a wire hanger or something.
as long as we don't get burnt offerings, Bette Davis, because that scared me as a little kid. I'm not going to lie.
Bette Davis is frightening in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah. And Toni was frightening.
But whatever happened to Baby Jane is just messed up, man. Have you ever seen that?
Maybe bits and pieces, but I don't think I've ever sat and watched the whole movie.
Okay. It's about like a child star who gets old but can't get out of that mold type of thing. It's very weird, but it's creepy at the same time.
I might watch it because probably some good acting performances.
Crawford and Davis did not like each other at all, but...
So when you said, are you talking about that FX documentary Feud?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. No, that was great.
But that's where it came from.
Joan Crawford and Bette Davis.
They didn't like each other and they worked with each other on whatever happened to Baby Jane. And that just
highly stopped. Recommend that, that miniseries, by the way, on FX.
Both seasons or just that one?
Oh, all the feuds are great. Like, I'm a huge Ryan Murphy guy. Like, anything Ryan Murphy does,
can't stand him.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
But I kind of wanted to watch the one about Truman Capote, but nevertheless.
Oh, I really like that one, too. Although I will say it takes about 3-4 episodes to get into it.
Yeah, Davis and Crawford did not get along. Davis and Faye Dunaway did not get along when they worked together either, which was also ironic. But, yeah.
All right, so that led to another women's match here.
That's your old Hollywood update from the 1940s by Jeff Hawkins. Thank you.
Yes. Also recommend Hollywood on Netflix. A good short run series. Camille versus Brittany Jade. So this was the debut of Camille. I don't even think it was advertised. I think they mentioned it earlier in the show, but
definitely.
She came out to Mercedes music and Mercedes did her dance. Crowd.
She looked great. That her gear looks fantastic.
She's a star already. One match, she's a star. She's the brick house, Camille. And she just squashed this poor Brittany Jade jobber. They mentioned that she's a former Legends football player, which is the former lingerie fighting alliance, which they changed to Legends because they wanted to be respectful.
They wanted to get away from the...
even though they still played football in lingerie.
I knew a couple of them because I was involved in a dodgeball league in LA. Okay. And a couple of them were in the league, so yeah.
But she looked great. I mean, she's basically a Caucasian Jade.
I didn't understand the spot where she's in the corner.
Oh, yes.
She's picking up Brittany Jade by the neck. Was she supposed to do something from the top and then they just ditched it?
Brittany should not have fought back at all. Like,
no, I agree. It was murder death. The first few moments, I'm like, this match is perfect. 10-10, no notes. And then they decide to have a little bit of a struggle there.
Yeah. So, it was it, but it was good. I mean, she looked great. And then Mercedes cut a promo and she's in high heels again. So she's almost as tall as Camille.
A bit.
And she says, Greenville, please say hello to your CEO. And no reaction to this. Please welcome the newest member of the Money Corporation. So that was my slight tease. I thought maybe this is where we're, teasing Shane because it was money, but probably not. So she says Camille. And she introduces Camille and she tossed the jobber out of the ring and she says, you can see why we call her the Brick House. For weeks, I've been victimized by Britt Baker. We get DMD chants. you know what? I've tried to turn the other cheek. I've tried to be diplomatic, but she took it too far. She's obsessed with me. And who isn't obsessed with the CEO? Now, Britt, you may have gotten your match at All In, but your actions got you suspended by my EVPs. So I guess she's suspended. I guess something she did at the San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah, they showed highlights of it. I'm going to give a lot of credit to both Mercedes and Camille for going hardcore on the bit, because they went to San Diego Comic Con as Poison Ivy and Bane.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought that was kind of awesome. Look, I'm a little done with wrestling angles at San Diego Comic Con, but I loved that they both just decided to dress up like comic book fans to go to Comic Con to then do the wrestling angle. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And Camille looked great as Bane too.
Well, I mean, and the funny thing is they got a Megan Bane.
And Mercedes looks exactly like Poison Ivy
yep,
in her gear yep. too. Yeah.
So she says, not even Britt Baker can break down my brick house. So you complain how you built this house with your blood, sweat, and tears. AEW is my house now. I thought it was Swerve's house. But anyways, I'm about to turn this house into a mansion because that's how I roll. And at All In, losing to me will be the best thing that ever happened in your career, because money changes everything.
It's now money changes everything, not Monet yeah. changes yeah. everything. They've Which been going weird, hard on that. It's yeah. fine.
Yeah. Well, I think we're supposed to call her Mercedes Monet. Money. Mercedes Money. Money.
It's now yeah. going to be Mercedes Money, I think. Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. I think just Mercedes is fine.
They're not fans of French Impressionists.
No. No. Okay. Maybe they got sued by Monet.
Yes. The estate of Claude Monet has decided to yeah. sue AEW.
So, this led us to our main event. Now, first off, I want to say, I think they showed a graphic a couple times earlier in the show, you know, like, you know, coming up tonight, and they would, you know, like, we will hear from Bryan Danielson. They pushed the Bryan Danielson interview way more than this main event.
I don't even remember them mentioning what the main event was.
I don't either. Although I do remember seeing a graphic for it, but okay. I don't think they told us it was the main event.
It might have been like during a match they showed it like in the lower yeah, left corner.
But they didn't actually mention it.
Yes, I agree.
This is a first time matchup between two of AEW's biggest stars.
Oh, wow.
There is no gimmick to set it. There's no angle to set it up. There was no hype
as a first time thing. Yeah.
Well, I think when it was announced, they announced it on Twitter.
No, but it should have been throughout the show.
Yes, and there should have been interviews.
A hard sell. Yeah.
There should have been an angle to set it up, something, but nothing. No, they just. Hangman's music hits, he does his entrance. Darby's music hits, he does his entrance. Oh, okay, these two are wrestling. Great. So the match starts, and immediately we got Let's Go Darby and Cowboy Shit dueling chants. Not super loud, but.
People don't want to give up the ghost on cheering for Hangman, even though he has.
Well, and Excalibur explained later that he's from Virginia, and that's pretty close to South Carolina, so there may be some hometown stuff going on here.
Well, they also pushed on. Didn't they push on commentary that he's a man on a mission about his family and stuff? And you're just
yes,
like,
they were. Okay, I was so confused by this. They're talking about these kids in the front row, and he's torn because he doesn't want to hurt Darby in front of these kids, and I'm like. Okay, they never show these kids on camera. They're not telling that story either. Not at all. So I was baffled by this. But
that said, before you get into this match, in totem, I'm gonna let you give all the details for it.
Okay,
Darby Allin is one of those guys where you know you're gonna get that match where he just gets his ass beat with various plunder over and over again. But in the beginning of this match, I'm watching him going, he really does do a lot of graceful aerial stuff and overuses the plunder sometimes.
Yes.
Because like that arm drag he did off the top rope, oh. I go, that is so pretty that yeah. he does. And I've been watching Darby since I was at the Evolve show where he got his contract after the tryout.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was during Mania weekend in Dallas. That time, and he did the body bag spot there during the show, where I think Ethan Page throws him out of the ring in a body bag. He just lands. With
oh yeah,
thumb.
I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
He did on TV before too, but
I yeah, this, I think
he
Brody,
did it at the Evolve
Brody
Super
King
Show.
Did
I think.
It to him, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, I watch and go, man, I would really like to see a Darby Allin match without the hardcore stuff. Just to do, because like, again, I'm watching that arm track, I go, man, that was pretty.
Darby and Will Ospreay would probably have a great match.
Yeah.
Yeah. So please,
now you can go through the match.
Okay, so immediately, right at the beginning, Darby went for a coffin drop to the outside. Hangman moved. Darby landed on the floor. Hangman grabs a chair. I thought at this point it might be no DQ. I don't know if they mentioned that it was no DQ. And the ref is not trying to get the chair away from him. He's
Did they mention
him,
it was no DQ? Because I never got that handle. Because if it was no DQ, then why is Bryce trying to stop Hangman from using a chair?
Well, he wasn't. He wasn't trying to stop. That's my whole point. All he was telling him was you can't win it on the outside. You got to go to the ring. So he wasn't even trying to get the chair.
It felt like he was trying to stop him from using the chair.
But I don't think it was an OTQ match, so I'm not exactly sure. Like Bryce is yelling at him, like, you win the match
because Excalibur did the, well, you know, it's a main event match. He's giving him some leeway.
Yeah. So Hangman just tells him, shut up or I'll beat your ass again. And Excalibur points out that he got suspended for putting his hands on Bryce before. And then while he's arguing with Bryce, that allowed Darby to take control, and he hit him with a stunner on the cage. So he climbs to the top of the tunnel and he did a coffin drop onto Hangman. Now, keep in mind, this is very early in the match. They hadn't even gone to commercial yet, and they would end up doing two commercial breaks. So this is like, you know, 2 minutes into a 15-minute match, and fans chant holy shit and they go to break. They come back and now they're in the ring and Hangman's in control now. So it's, you know, completely this coffin drop. It's like it didn't even happen. And he's swinging Darby around with a chokehold. And Tony Schiavone at this point points out that he's got two title matches coming up. He's got the world, or the TNT title shot at Wembley, which he won last week in the Blood and Guts. And he points out that he has a world title match at Grand Slam. Now, at this point, I don't even think they had told us that he won that Royal Rampage last week.
They had not. They should have done a recap at the top of the show for all these things, and they didn't.
Yeah. No, and then, like, later on in the match, they did point out that he had won the Royal Rampage. But at this point, like, if you didn't watch Rampage, which not a lot of people did,
no,
you have no idea what they're talking about. But, you know, unless you follow it on Twitter. But whatever. More dueling chants, and this is where Excalibur pointed out that Hangman's from Virginia, because he's trying to explain, like, these fans should be booing him. What's going on? And then all of a sudden, 9 minutes left in the show, the lights go out.
Virginia's not that close to South Carolina.
Oh, I was wondering that.
I know, it's just weird.
So the lights go out, and we can see the ref in the ring. We can't see him. Like, they're literally out. Like, we can see the ring, and they're out for like a good 15 seconds. And the announcers are, well, we don't know what's going on. It's the same sell they do when the House of Black are coming out, or when there's going to be a debut or whatever. Except in those cases, it's pitch black.
I thought for sure it was some sort of House of Black tease.
Yes. And then Tony Schiavone, when the lights come back on, he says, I thought someone was going to come out from under the ring, like, which is what we were all thinking. So God bless him. But it was
maybe that person had travel issues too and couldn't.
It was just you know what, I'm gonna piss people off, but I had an argument in the Discord this week about whether or not AEW was the big leagues, and I'm sorry, but this was Bush League. You know, the lights don't go out and during a WWE show. Josh Nason did point out to me that one time this happened in UFC. It, you know, just happened, and you know, whatever, he was at the show and that's why he remembered it. But you know, there's one big league. I mean, it's the WWE. That's not to say AEW isn't a big league. It's just not the big league. That's all. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, lights went out. They came back on, and they were brawling on the outside, and then crowd's dead. I mean, this is where I'm pointing out, like, these are two of the biggest stars. They've never fought each other, and this crowd is not reacting to hardly anything. And this is where he finally told us that he won the Royal Rampage. Darby tried a crossbody, but Hangman caught him and slammed him into the ring post and then onto the apron. Then he hit him with three straight power bombs onto the apron. Then he picked him up and he looked at the ring steps, which were kind of seated in the middle of the ramp. And he hit him with a fallaway slam and just threw him hard into the top of the stairs, landed back first on this. And actually the fans popped for this. And then we go to commercial. And we come back in, and Hangman's in control. Crowd's completely dead. Hangman picks up Darby, goes to the top rope, hits an avalanche fallaway slam where he tossed Darby, like, from one corner of the ring to the other corner. Like, he flew, like, I don't know, 25 feet.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, like, this spot if they had done hardly anything else in the rest of this match and Hangman had done this spot late in the match, this crowd would have gone insane. But they had just watched Darby do a coffin drop off the tunnel like 10 minutes earlier, and they didn't react to this the way they should have, because I think they were just numb to everything. So Darby made his comeback. Fans are chanting, "This is awesome," very lightly. They're on the outside. Darby beats the count. Then Hangman also made it in. Darby starts whipping him with a belt. Hit a shotgun drop kick. Darby hits a coffin splash back elbow and a code red for two. And then he starts looking at the corner. And he goes for a coffin drop. Hangman caught him, put on a sleeper. Darby reversed into a pin. Darby went for the buckshot. Hangman took his head off with a lariat. And then he just starts beating on him. And here at this point, I think we're already into the overrun.
Yes.
Excalibur points out, oh, by the way, Collision's airing at 5 Eastern this week. Like, first time they mentioned it all night. And WWE is also airing their pre-show.
Yeah, SummerSlam.
3 hours. SummerSlam. Everyone says they're doing it to counter-program. Well, to 95% of the audience, they didn't even know Collision was airing at 5 Eastern until just now. But anyways.
And nobody should be watching that pre-show.
Nobody's watching
3 hours
pre-show.
Of nothing.
No, there's nothing. So honestly, if you tune into the pre-show and you're going to be bored and probably, oh, what else is on? And you might find Collision. So it might actually work out better for AEW. So Hangman hits a powerbomb for two. Excalibur said, this is where he did the story about the kids at ringside and thinking about his own kids and what Swerve Strickland did to them. I'm like, So Hangman hits Darby with a deadeye. Then he hits another one, and Darby's dead. And Taz says, match is over, just cover him. And Hangman's just standing there, and he's taking his own sweet time, and he looks to the heavens, and then he goes to the outside, and then Excalibur's talking about the kids in the crowd again. And he's waiting because he wants Darby to get up so he can hit his finisher, the buckshot. Darby takes forever. Finally gets up. Hangman goes to hit it. Darby collapses. And Hangman pulls him into the center of the ring, and he's going to just hit him with a lariat. But Darby reversed him and cradled it, and the match is over. And that's it. Pinned him. And Hangman, he gets in Darby's face. He starts choking him. And then Hangman's going nuts. Bryce finally gets away. He's pulling chairs out from under the ring. He's throwing them into the ring. Taz said it was a quick count. I don't know. Hangman went back in the ring. Darby flipped him off with a double bird. And at this point, like, they're 5 minutes into their overrun. Oh, Collision, 5 Eastern, Darby, Briscoe, FTR against Mortos, the Undisputed Kingdom. And that's it. That's the only match we have announced for Collision. I have no idea if Rampage is even happening this week. I know there's the occasionally when they don't actually air a Rampage. They never mention Rampage once. They never mention if there's what's happening on it. Tune into TNT. Something will be on. Might be Rampage. I don't know. But next week we do have MJF and Kyle Fletcher and Jeff Jarrett and Brian Danielson on Dynamite next week. So we have more for next week's Dynamite than we have for either of the two shows this coming weekend.
It felt like the end of this match should have been a bigger deal, and then just
yes, no, and like, what was the point? Like,
To build up Darby as a world title challenger, or
in 2 months?
I think Hangman's going after that title shot.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, because Darby's got the TNT title. He trying to get both belts?
No, I think he wins the TNT title and he loses the world title shot at Grand Slam.
Like before, like maybe he puts up his title shot against Hangman?
Yes.
Yeah, then why don't you just have Hangman win? I'm watching this Battle Royal on Friday and I'm seeing Kip Sabian and I'm seeing The Butcher and I'm seeing Matt Menard get up from the ringside table to get in this match, and a bunch of other people. Jay Lethal was in it. Jeff Jarrett was in it.
Yeah.
And then we had Hangman show up. And I think, like, I remember last week when we were doing this show and you had John from Memphis was there and he was giving us commentary. Yes. I'll bet you the fans there thought Hangman was in the match.
I'm mad at John.
Why wasn't Hangman in the match?
So that he could get heat by getting Jarrett out of it.
Why wasn't Roosh in the match?
I don't know.
Why wasn't Kyle Fletcher in the match?
Although now that makes no sense to get heat on Jarrett when yes! Danielson is coming backstage and yelling at Jarrett.
Why wasn't, like Lance Archer in the match? Mortos, we had a bunch of jobbers in this match. And
well, you like said Chris Statlander against a jobber. I go, that's Layla Gray, fool.
I know. Yeah, I know. So it was weird. But so it's Darby's just getting a major push.
Layla, who works for everybody now. It feels like she's everywhere.
Hangman doesn't take a lot of pinfall losses.
No.
So for him to lose to Darby is a really big deal.
Yes, and I liked when they got up and he immediately started bullying Bryce about the count. Yeah. I thought that was cool, but
he blew it.
Somebody should come out and help celebrate with Darby or something. There's something off about it.
Yeah, and then where was the Elite tonight? Like, we didn't see the Bucks, we didn't see Okada, Perry, none. Yeah,
you know what? That feels like that kind of thing where it's like when the Horsemen and Dusty and company were feuding, it's like everybody starts coming down, becomes like a de facto, not necessarily a lumberjack match, but both sides are cheering for their guy type of a thing to make it a bigger deal. Yeah, I would have liked that, I think.
Yeah, so you could have had, like, I don't know who. Darby doesn't really have any friends.
Well, but Darby has some people from Anarchy in the Ring. You could have had Briscoe.
Briscoe. And
maybe the Acclaimed. I don't know.
Yeah, they're heels turning now, right?
Heel.
FTR. Yeah. FTR,
yes. Any of those types of guys coming down and like just hitting the mat for him.
But that was weird. And I mean, the match itself was, I guess it was good. Like I
enjoyed it. I mean, Darby throws himself at guys and it's amazing to me that his career has lasted this long.
Well, yeah, he did a promo.
He might be my favorite guy to watch in AEW. To be honest.
Yeah. Like when he's on. Yeah. This match, it's not fun to watch when the crowd isn't as into it as you think they should be. And that was what this was to me. Like for a match involving two big, like this felt like this should have been like a pay-per-view match.
You know what it was? It's one of those things where it's like when Darby's out there, they're expecting him to go through tables and climb ladders and stuff. And when he's just doing the standard stuff.
Other than jumping off that tunnel, which was really early in the match. Which was
hardcore enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, that should have been the finish, not, you know, like 2 minutes into the match.
No, I agree.
Yeah. So that to me was a little bit off.
That's why they're out of it. They were like, you got to go bigger than that for the finish.
They blew their load.
Yes.
They blew their load early.
Let's be respectful here. Yes.
Well, yeah. this is actually a good point. Why didn't Adam get the police involved or at least get HR involved when Sword broke into his house? Moving to a different house instead did he? Is that what his whole personal issues was? Where he was off for a long time? I wonder.
No, but they made that part of the story.
Yeah, it's just weird. So anyways, that was Dynamite. And I guess next week we're going to have a show. And I swear to God, I have no idea if there's a Rampage this week. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, maybe there isn't. Like, I don't know. Last time this happened where they never mentioned Rampage, there was a show. So... I imagine if you follow AEW on Twitter, they'll let you know whether or not there's an actual Rampage this week. So we're over time. So we started late and we went over time. So let's get our plugs in.
Follow me at CrapGame13 on Elon Musk's X. I also do a show on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network called Shake Them Ropes. This week, Chris Novembrino and myself will be recording right after SummerSlam ends. So we'll get piping hot takes on that, in addition to thoughts on the Great American Bash week one in NXT. I agree with you. Fallon Henley and JCJ carried that six-woman party match, but it was a great party match. And then I got to pick something for Vader Club. It's probably going to be something from All Japan Tag Team in early 90s of some kind. And that will drop sometime Saturday night, Sunday morning, whenever Joe and Rich can get to it.
Cool. And me, follow me at Paulie Spontane on X. For the next probably month, I'll be trying to catch up on all the wrestling I'm behind on. I'm just finished Rampage from Friday, so I have the G1 on Saturday, Collision, Battle of the Belts, G1 on Sunday, Bloodsport, G1 on Monday, and G1 today. That's what I still have to watch. Jeez. And it's not slowing down. So follow my frustration as we try to get killed by Tony Khan and the rest of these sickos. So for Paul A. Spontane. No, you for are. Jeff Hawkins.
Thank you.
I've been Paul A. Spontane. Yes.
Yes.
And this is Bean, the Dynamite Show. Later.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.